Hello and welcome back to Pathways. This is your host, Todd Allen Baker. And welcome back this week. We have something different on this week. Amazing guest that I've known for quite a few years and we keep in touch. It's the first of our kind. He's the first of makeup. He does many things. He wears many hats, makeup, acting, singing, hair. He's done it all. His career, I can't wait to hear his whole story. Like, I think I know his story, but there's been so many twists and turns, and I love probably the humble beginnings. He's an Indiana boy and Ball State person, and so it's going to be great to hear his story today. So this is my friend Daniel Klinger.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Daniel. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm honored.
Oh, well, it's been a minute. I've had to track him down. This is a busy, busy man. It's like, if he's not busy, like him and his husband are like traveling all around the world or doing something. I've had to track him down. So we finally got him back on land and he's with us. So we're just going to go with it. And I had to get it in when I could, like I had to schedule it out. So I'm more than happy to have him on. So Daniel, why don't you just go ahead and tell us where you're from and how you got started in this business? Where are your humble beginnings at?
Well, I currently live in Dallas, Texas, which I really enjoy. I didn't ever think I was going to end up in Texas being from Indiana, but it has been a pleasant surprise in the journey of my life. Where did I begin? The problem with me is I've had several starts in terms of my career, in terms of what my interests have been.
Well, that's why we call it Pathways, right? Yeah. I mean, there's been so many people that's why we call it that. And you've had many avenues in that pathway, and that's why you're just going to be a great guest, because I love how things go and you've had a different career. And so that's, go through your pathways with us.
Well, I'll start with this because it really connects now.
Okay.
Which is my beginnings was in musical theater and music. And of course, now I find myself back in theater and production. But my beginnings were in musical theater. And at that point, I thought, this is what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a Broadway star one day. And that was sort of pushing my trajectory forward. So theater has always sort of been my island, I call it, that I've always landed on. So following that, I went to Ball State University to pursue my degree in musical theater. I know you're not an alumni.
Pardon?
An alumni of Ball State.
Yep, we're Ball State, both of us.
Right, yes, yep. We are Ball State people.
We are Ball State people. Chirp, chirp.
Chirp, chirp. And during that time, I started developing myself into a leader, and that guided me into a master's program in student affairs. So at that point, I thought I was going to move into leadership, but I had a passion for LGBT issues, for minority issues, and at that point, I thought, I'm going to take this over to D.C. one day and do policy and you know, and that took me to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. How far do you want me to go down my path, Todd?
Let's go. What's your childhood story? It's called Pathways, not delve into your head and solve problems.
I was locked in a kennel in a basement for the first 17 years where I developed a really acute superpower to focus in small spaces.
So when you got out of Ball State, where did you go from there? Because you had a cosmetology degree, right?
No. I left Ball State with a master's degree in student affairs.
Okay, I knew that.
I moved to Milwaukee to start my first job as assistant director of student life at the University of Wisconsin.
Never knew that. And fantastic.
To start my doctoral program in educational leadership. So here is the reconnection again. I
Wow.
ask my students, where should I get my haircut? And they said, oh, go to the Aveda school. It's amazing. I said, okay. So for 2 years, I went to the Aveda school to get my haircut by the students, loved it, became like a male model for the teacher when she would do cutting classes, and was really inspired by them. One day I came in for one of my haircuts, and Aveda had a poster saying doing a national talent search. And essentially, it was looking for somebody who doesn't have any experience in this industry to do this competition where you interview and do a makeover, head to toe hair, makeup, wardrobe on a model. And I don't know what it was in me. I was like, maybe I had my fill of academia and I needed a little change. I thought, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I should do it. So I did. I entered this competition and I won it. $20,000 scholarship to beauty school. And
You were no beauty school dropout.
I'm not. And at that moment, honestly, I realized I've always like tried to have a vision plan for myself. And at that moment, that wasn't in my vision. And I really took my hands off the wheel and thought, I just need to follow my instinct, get out of my head. So that's a good motivational lesson for all your listeners, which is we spend so much time thinking, and there's a point where you have to drop it into your gut and just trust it. And every not done that, I've gone down the wrong path.
Yeah, and I've done that, and I'm learning to trust my gut more. And yeah, you're totally correct. And I love that story because I honestly have known you for years, and I thought you went for musical theater, but I thought you studied hair and makeup at Ball State. I had no idea.
No.
No
Well,
idea.
as a theater major, we took classes in
Right.
in makeup, which I loved and I was actually really good at. So it's interesting and I would sit down and I would do summer stock and with the wig and costumers, and I would just loved all of that. But at that moment, that wasn't my journey. I couldn't see myself out of the off the stage. I wasn't there yet.
Had no idea. I think that's an awesome pathway that you did. And it is about getting out of your head and finding that different pathway, no matter what career, and go with your gut. And I'm finding that in different ways of my life, my dance career, my Pilates career, my, musical theater career. Like, where am I? And I'm changing. I'm in my 50s, so it's like time to change. And I used to be resistant, and now I'm just like, just surrender and see where it goes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and in that space, I never funny, so I'm going to leap over to more recently. I didn't ever think I would be a person that could be content, because I was always driven and inspired and wanting. And I'm very competitive with myself, which sometimes seems, I think, could be perceived as competitive with others, and that's just not true. If I always look towards, here's some more life lessons. Whatever I do, I try to find the highest quality, the benchmark, and drive towards it. For me, I don't want to accept mediocre or average, even, just to be quite frank. So anything I put myself into or inspired by, I'm like, what is the top of that game? How do I get there? How do I be a part of that and participate in it? So it's always been my driving force.
So after and I think that's a great way to look at it. And that's for anyone going for anything in this career or life. So after Aveda school and you got your degree, where did you go from there?
So I will layer this in. While I was in school, I realized that that was higher education and that all of my higher education was in higher education. And my brain started spinning, thinking, I'm not sure there's probably a lot of people in cosmetology that have my background and my degrees. And so I then aligned myself with the school systems. So I worked at the Aveda school as I was working in a salon. I ended up being the education leader for Paul Mitchell School. in Milwaukee. So as I was building all of that, I stepped away from theater for quite a while because I hadn't touched here. And so I came into that in my 30s. So number one, there is never an age, a number in which we can't do something. I was in school with a bunch of 18-year-old girls and I loved every second of it. And who are still several of my friends to this day. And, I also knew that it would take time for my hands and my body to connect to do this thing with hair and makeup. And that's just something that takes time, no matter how hard I work, no matter how fast I go, no matter how smart I am. It's just the practice, getting hands into something. And that's the thing with dance, isn't it? And, it's a muscle. So I knew that. And so I just threw myself into every aspect of it for a decade. And then when I moved, my husband had a job opportunity to move back to Indianapolis. That's when I stopped, dropped, and thought, gosh, I want to rebalance. I've done this for a decade. I'm kind of out of my other passion, which is theater. So I made a decision to audition for a community theater production, which I got cast in. And then here's the link to what I do today. I was in a production of Drowsy Chaperone. I was in it 2 weeks before the production opened. The director had shared that the hair and makeup designer had dropped out, and if we knew anybody who could do hair and makeup, they were looking for somebody. And I said, well, I do hair and makeup. And so I, and it was a period, part of it was a period piece. So I threw myself into that and started working with wigs and makeup. And suddenly, this world of beauty and then my background in theater connected. I don't even talk about connecting them. And the light bulb went off in my head. And I said, oh my God, that is an aspect. I hadn't even thought about these two things coming together. And
It was
yeah,
an Oprah aha moment.
it was an aha moment. I was prepared for it. So yeah. And then all of my background started coming together because I opened up a small business at that point doing, I opened up a salon in my home. My business background and programming development of my education, gave me the intelligence to put together a business plan. And I started figuring out where do I need to go to learn how to work with wigs? Because the level I work at in TV, film, and Broadway is master level. It's not, yeah. And so, and thus became that journey, which is so it's just always setting goals. But who could have only guessed where you could go with all that?
And I think, it's, I mean, I was working with you. The way Daniel and I met actually was Daniel came into the Pilates studio I was working at, and that's how we met. I never made our connection. We didn't meet at Ball State. And because I was gone when you came in, because I was traveling and we never connected there. Daniel came in and asked me to train him. So I was like his trainer for a minute in Pilates. And that's where Daniel and I made our connection. And always just fun times. So I just think that's great that, I mean, it was just a by chance moment that you're like, oh, here's my aha moment. And you seized the day. And you're right, doing a different wig setting for community theater and going from there. And I was with you, and folks might want to know this, and I'll just plug it. You wrote a book.
I did.
And
I
can you tell
did.
us what that book is and how that come about?
Well, by the way, that was another manifestation because ever since, gosh, probably when I was 18 or 19, I just knew I wanted to write a book. And I didn't know about what. And I will say this too, everybody needs to, I talk to so many people who have all these dreams, but they never talk about them. Besides maybe to their friend. When you want something in this world, you also have to speak it into existence. You have to tell people because the connection of humanness is that I might say to you, hey, I'd love to do this. And you say, well, I know somebody who can, or things align. So, as it was a few years back, I was at a 20-year class reunion, and one of my old classmates was a publisher for Random House. And it's one of those situations where you say, oh, what do you do? How are you catching up? And it's like, oh my gosh, publisher, one day I'll tap into you because I've always wanted to write a book. She remembered that. So when the series called The Idiot's Guide for Penguin Random House came out, she needed to find a makeup artist to write a book. And so she reached out to me and said, you told me a couple of years ago you wanted to write a book. What do you think? Do you want to do it? And I said, oh my God,
Universal
absolutely.
connection. That's amazing.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't believe it. So I went and signed a contract and it's
So, what's the
crazy.
book's name?
It's called Everyday, The Idiot's Guide to Everyday Makeup Secrets.
I
And
remember
then that.
looking at it when you got it published. You brought it in.
And then there's a second book called Makeup Techniques.
Okay. So we've
So,
had, we're all two.
yes, sir. Two
That's
books.
awesome. Two books.
It's
I'm published.
sold on Amazon.
All right. There you go. Plugging that in for you. I'm plugging you in. Residuals. Residuals. Okay. So then from there, the last time, I mean, I've caught up with you here and I love how you've transitioned. Like, and we can discuss this and go into that I've seen you in New York and you can tell us about your New York gigs. I know you've done Frozen and Aladdin. I've saw you there. But the good thing is, I've seen you come back here to Beef and Boards and like professional theater and do amazing roles. So I love how you just didn't go to one and stay there. Like during this time, you still keep up on the opposite end of, your love and your passion and tie it all together. So how'd that come about and how do you manage that?
I'm going to start by saying this because I literally wrote this in a Facebook post, I think 2 days ago, which was when I was younger, loving theater. And I would say to my mom, who told me she used to do theater in high school and ballet. And I kept saying, well, why don't you do it again? And oh, I'm too old, I'm too old, I'm too busy, which is a narrative we
Right.
say. And I remember thinking even myself, when I'm her age, which I am now, when I'm her age, I still want to get on stage. I still want to have fun. I still want to be playful. I don't want to lose that aspect of me. So, so that's something I've never given up. What my life is so busy now, and to be quite frank, like what I in terms of like the money I make and the projects I get, I don't really have a lot of time to like stop and dedicate that all to acting. But there are some roles that I absolutely will stop, drop to be in. So, and what you saw me in, for example, is Edna in Hairspray. And so there's a couple of roles on my bucket list that will stop me. Or as in my industry, January, February, that's a little slower time. So if the theater reaches out and asks me to be in a production, and it's something that feeds me, I will step into it because it's still one of the muscles that I love so much. And I have to tell you, I will spend an hour and a half putting on makeup to play Edna or Zaza, like Taj, and it's exhausting. And I'm thank God I just get to be backstage or on the sidelines. As much as I love theater, I love it. I'm not as passionate about acting as I am about the creation of it
Right.
that I get to do every day.
And I another reason, because I've had stage managers on, and the other and we'll get back to we're going to get back to into your career. And I really want to do this for focus, and I want your opinion on this. So the reason I do this podcast, and I wish more people would follow, because I when you're in this industry and I think I wanted to learn about everything and do everything and see where you can go and how it weaves in. Like I had someone that's a wedding designer, like stuff, and from being a dancer and being backstage, now she knows how to do hair, makeup, and sew people into their wedding dresses. So it all correlates. And main purpose of this podcast is we have what I would call so many one-trick ponies anymore, whether you're just acting and then that's what you do, or you dance or you sing. And I think when you're in this theater business, or in this industry, not just theater, that the reason I want to have an eclectic group of people on is I think if you're a performer in any capacity, that you should be able to know what a stage manager's job is or what hair and makeup detail, because that makes you on the stage. I mean, the stage manager, the show's not going to go on and you're not going to look good if the stage manager isn't doing their job. We're not going to look good on stage if the hair and makeup isn't right. So it's all part of the pieces of the puzzle, and we shouldn't be so absorbed as ourselves as performers that what trophy we get, what acting award we get, what speech award we get, or singing or Isma solo, those are all great. But I feel like I was well immersed enough in community theater and having to build sets and do things that I learned every aspect of the theater. So I had an appreciation of what I'm putting out on stage. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. But it's a metaphor for life, isn't it?
Right.
Right. I call it the symphony of life, that it's lovely to have a violinist, but it's even better to have a full orchestra and a working understanding and appreciation for all the different instruments, even though you don't play them all, which is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because then you have, it gives you more tools in your toolbox. It gives you appreciation, respect, and connectivity with everybody. Mm-hmm. It's interesting watching the Oscars yesterday and thinking, being on set, long hours, even longer than those actors. Mm-hmm. We are the first person they sit in front of in the morning, how I touch them and connect with them. My ego doesn't need this, and I don't think it's appropriate. I don't sit there and say, well, I'm an actor too, but I am, and I have, and I respect their space and what's required, So like, to your point, because I have stepped in those different spaces, I can appreciate, I'll read the one-liners for the day, and I'll know what the tone is, and if they need, my sense, they may need some quiet and peace, I would understand what that would take, because I've been in the position.
Mm-hmm.
So I can give them that. And it's come back to me. I've had the doctor say, you're always like so in tune with me. If I feel chatty, I'll chat. If I don't, you just seem to know, So I think it's important. And we should always be curious. It's about curiosity. Curiosity is what links us into each other. What do you do?
Because I try to, no matter where you're at, but especially for the young kids I teach, I just feel like this generation where we were brought up to appreciate every aspect of theater, I just really feel like this generation of performers are super talented, but they're, and probably in all aspects, singing, dancing, well-roundedness, but they were just pushed towards one thing and didn't get the experience of what theater really was and the appreciation for the all aroundness of what it takes to make a production, to appreciate the makeup, to appreciate the lights, to appreciate the sound, and to learn something from that and how to run a soundboard or turn it on. And I think that's super important no matter where you are, who you are. And I think that's just learning everything. So on Broadway, you're a Disney kid for a minute. You did Frozen. Mm-hmm. You did Aladdin. And so
Mean
how
Girls.
Did that? You did what?
Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah. You did Mean Girls. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was your roles and what was different on those? Like, what's the dynamic from going from that? Just being here doing community, and how did that happen? And what's the dynamic backstage? Like, what do you go through with a person typically?
Well, first of all, that's all part of a union. So
yeah.
When you get to the highest level, the professional levels, actors and stage managers are part of, just for, educational purposes.
We're good with that. I love teaching that. Yes.
Actors Equity in theater, or SAG, AFRA in TV film. My union is, I see it's the International Stagehand Union, and it's broken up into regions. I won't bore you with why. So when I moved, prior to moving to New York, I joined the union in Indianapolis, which allowed me to work on national tours.
Right.
Wicked, Mamma Mia, Track, just the list goes on. I then toured nationally and internationally as assistant hair and makeup for the National Tour of Wizard of Oz, internationally with Annie. At that point, I said, I think it's time to move to New York. And so just so you see the link into there. So because you do have to be in the union to do that. So my first job was with Aladdin on Broadway. And well, that was amazing. First of all, when you love theater as much as I do, not everybody is in this industry who works backstage loves theater as much as maybe you and I would. Perhaps why? Because some of them are children of parents who are carpenters. They have a not they have an appreciation for it, but they're not necessarily musical theater geeks like you and I would be. And so for me, walking by and down Broadway all my life, and that magical stage door, what was behind it, to finally get the key to unlock it and open it up was very much like a Dorothy and Oz moment.
I love that.
Truly, truly. I would stand in the on the wings, and the wings, like, just I could probably take 2 steps and I'd actually be on Broadway. And my last time. Which is amazing. So Broadway is wonderful. The perks to it is it's consistent. Your schedule every week. It's temperature controlled. You're indoors. You get to become a family with everybody, all the actors and crew, which we are. And so it's long days, long hours of banging out wigs and makeup. Why I got hired with Aladdin was because I was also a makeup artist, which not every person is. Just because you can do wigs doesn't mean that you're a makeup artist. So,
Okay, good to know. I don't think people know
yeah.
that. That's yeah.
And when you do TV and film, they make you choose hair or makeup. Because when you're on a
Oh,
film, you don't have time to be lugging on set multiple bags, and
got it. Yeah.
you have to come in with a comb and ready to go, last looks, touch-ups, and get the heck out. So I was told I needed to choose. So in New York City, I chose hair, but there are spaces in which I could do both. Broadway was one, commercial work is another.
Okay. I guess I would have never thought of it as that way, even though I was close and dated a hair and makeup artist myself. I guess I would never put two and two together because he did film and Broadway. So I guess I've never really even explored that after that many years. I just always tagged both, but it's not. So when you're there, I do like how you kind of fuse that in that, it's steady and you know your schedule. And so when you are doing, because what show are you doing now? What are you continuing on that you're, what series are you on?
I am the key hair for The Chosen.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. And we're in season three or four.
Well, we're at season four right now. It's in the movie theaters right now. It's about to be launched, streamed sometime later this month. And then I'll be starting season five in April.
Okay. And have you been with the conception? Have you been on all 5 years or when did you jump in?
So no, I didn't join on until season three. The reason why it wasn't union then, well, two reasons. One reason I just moved to Texas, and it, just to backpedal, when I was in New York, I also worked on TV series as well. I worked on
Right.
Orange Is the New Black, worked on Pose, worked on every detective drama. And so during the pandemic, when I decided it was time to evacuate New York, because I'm a Midwest person and I need space, I need to cook, In our 50s, it's not always so fun living in a small box anymore. So when I moved here, I had a friend, Chris Clark, who is a Fortin Emmy Award winner, works a lot with Ryan Murphy, worked on Pose. And I said, "Is there work in Texas?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, oh yes." And so he connected me, and I started working on 1883, which is a part of Paramount, and it's like Yellowstone. This went back to the cherubim. So I started plugging in. I was in Austin working on Love and Death for HBO Max, and one of my dear friends, Ashley Parker, who worked on that production in 1883, she asked me if I'd come in and work on her team for the show. So, and I said, sure. Well, that was season three. That happened to be the first year that the shows had switched over to a union contract. Because it started as an indie project that was crowdsourced, and it got so big that they moved it in to union, which I wouldn't have agreed to work on it if it wasn't union before. It just doesn't pay as much, and you're not protected. So.
And what, so now connecting that all, like, where are you? Because it's not set hours, right? Like, you're there in the morning, and like you kind of stated, like, you're there first and then you clean up while everyone else is gone.
Yes. Well, one of the reasons why I chose to do hair in this industry and not makeup, to just this might be interesting for anybody who's listening who might want to do what I'm doing.
Just educate us. Just give us your
Just
all.
educate you,
Just give us
hair.
your magic.
Somebody said you need to pick one or the other, and I thought to myself, well, it's way more expensive to be a makeup artist. You need a lot more disposables. You need all the foundations, all the colors, all the things, and those expire, and you have to replace. And I'm joking and I'm minimizing it, but oftentimes with hair, you need, comb brush, curling iron, hair. So you don't need a lot of as much stuff.
Just a little Aquanet and some white
A
rain, and
lot
you're
going
good.
on. And in theater, like with Frozen, they did have a full-time makeup person in Aladdin, it was part-time. And so I knew there were more hairdressers, there were makeup artists, so I knew there were more job opportunities. So just so you know. So with that being said, where did I just go with that? You just asked me a question
The
with the hair
question
department.
was putting you back on track. Like, you were there on set longer because you were hair.
Long hours. Well, I said that because hair is not as long as makeup because I don't have to clean up as much stuff. But yes, you're right. We're the first people on set. We're the last to leave. You can work, gosh, on average, 12-hour days easily to 15, 16-hour days. I've worked on set. It takes a special kind of person. You have to say something about passion. I love it. Isn't it crazy? We come on set, I'll get up. I'm a morning person. I could take I enjoy like having nothing to do and easing myself into the day, but I'm really good at getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and that alarm clock goes off and I have to jump in my car and drive to set. I don't know why it's crazy. I'm like, I love it. I love having something to do.
And when
I love being
set,
here.
I mean, set's not always in the studio, it's indoor outdoors, correct?
Especially in Texas. A lot of and The Chosen is set in biblical times, so it is. Jesus was not preaching at the Four Seasons Hotel. He was preaching it in the Four Seasons and with the guests and the heat.
I'll admit, I've not
1880.
streamed it yet. So, what platform is that on?
It is on Netflix. It is on Paramount Plus. It is streamed for free on the Chosen app. It's currently in the theaters nationwide, season four, episodes seven and eight. So it's
All right.
everywhere.
I'll give it a whirl. I need something new, so I'm done with my other stuff, so I'll give that
Yeah,
a
which I
whirl.
love. It's a beautiful, beautiful production. Who tries really hard. I'll say another piece I think is important to talk about is the it's I'm very passionate about celebrating our individualities and be that gender, sexual orientation, skin tone, ethnicities, religious orientation, whatever. Is religion or orientation? I don't say religious orientation. But anyway, with that being said, in our industry, there's been many conversations. We've had situations where we've appropriated in the past, we've learned from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was in a production of The King and I, where you talk,
Yeah.
where we appropriated ourselves. There
Oh,
was
I
there.
was blonde and bottle dyed my hair black
Yes.
and like
Let's just talk
face
about it.
painted like
Let's
my
talk
face.
about it.
Yeah. I mean, that it was like in an all white town. I mean, like, what were you going to get that was like, look, Siamese? So, yeah,
Oh,
I
we were
like,
so happy about it too.
yeah. I mean, come
Yeah.
on.
Well, we'll talk about that real because Maron had a line, and it was called Oriental, was the makeup, and it was this sort of one color orangey tone that we had all put on, and that was Asia. And I think it had ebony one and two for our darkest skin tones. And then, of course, every nuance of Caucasian. So we would lather ourselves in Oriental. We would put the black liner on, dye our hair black, and get on stage and, and appropriate ourselves. We have learned, we have grown. And I have shared over and over again, if I'm asked, or if I see somebody's asking me to appropriate somebody, meaning to darken their skin, to put them into another ethnic study, I just know. And there are makeup artists who say, well, I don't want to, I don't want to lose a job, I don't want to offend. And I'm like, my creativity is not for sale that way. It is not for sale, to appropriate somebody. I think it's very important to have integrity in this industry. And I promise you will find your people. I've been very clear. So working on The Chosen, when I understood, what it was, I was like, well, I don't want to appropriate anybody. But like, no, they do a very good job in casting it, appropriately, and it's lovely. So I do think it's important to say, because a part of this whole industry is also understanding your personal mission statement and having integrity. And I don't want to be aligned with projects that I feel would be harming other people, and I don't want to participate in, using my art that I love and I'm very passionate about to do something that they think is harmful or inappropriate. So that's important to talk about. But yeah, it's long days, Todd Baker. It's long days on the set.
Well, you'd be a joy to work with. I'm sure they all love you. I'm sure you keep them entertained. So now we can connect, and I don't know if you've worked because I know, and I'm trying to get her on. So kind of let's connect, where we can reconnect. Like, you've been doing a lot of Royal Caribbean, like takeout ships. Are you strictly doing the Aqua shows, or are you doing the production shows as well?
No, I do production shows as well. So I've done Hairspray on a few of the ships, Grease. Royal Caribbean has Broadway level
Oh
shows
yeah. 'Cause so
on
you've
their
been
cruise
on
ships.
the yeah, and I love Hairspray on the Harmony was
Right.
amazing.
I just did We Will Rock You on Anthem in Europe. And then, yeah, I do a lot of the water shows because I do aqua makeup, waterproof makeup, which is a specialty.
And go with that. And that's kind of where now have you worked with Vicki Davis yet?
No.
You haven't? 'Cause she usually sets those up. That's my old director. I love her. So go with that because I've wondered because I've been on three ships now where they have the aqua shows. And I mean, that ties in Cirque du Soleil, that ties into what is that makeup and how do you create that? And what's the foundation of that, that's a totally different ball game. Then what, I mean, you're creating a look, but you're having things that stay on while they're diving in the water. I mean,
Right.
it's not just simply Maybelline. It's not like Linda Carter, like,
Yeah.
oh, my mascara doesn't run. I mean, you're in the water with makeup.
That's right. And I always tell the performers, I will know if you do not follow my steps, if you get out of that pool and it's just dripping down your face. So water makeup. So what you would do is everything's in layers, and so say I'm doing like a blue and red and gold look, then all of that starts with cream, a cream base that you paint on, and then you set it with powder, and then you layer it back with the same color in powder. So it's really about setting the cream with powder. And then there's some final seal that you can spray on top of it that makes it waterproof. But really, like setting cream makeup with powder pretty much does the trick if you do it correctly.
So there's not a specialty makeup that's made for water. It's kind of you just
So can we talk? I don't know if we could talk about brands, like
we brand it
Cryo.
because I'm trying to get monetized. So brand
Sure.
away.
So Cryolin makes, and there's a difference because they have an aqua color. When you see aqua color, that doesn't necessarily, they may correct me, that doesn't really mean that you're going to wear that for that the cool to actually come off. It just means that you use water to activate it.
Okay.
So I would take a sponge, get it wet, and start activating the water. That's why it's called water. If you do face painting, those are aqua activated. If you use on set, for example, there's an Illustrator palette that's 99% alcohol. So just so we understand,
Right.
there's different kinds of makeup and they're activated in different ways. Brian has a color called Super Color. It's a cream, really good cream color, like you'd use on clown makeup, theatrical makeup. Ben Nye has a great cream as well. And so that's what I use as my base. Those color pigments are great. And so, and then they always have a corresponding eyeshadow that goes with them that are highly pigmented. So these are all the tricks. If
And
you do
for some
drag.
of these, you've created, like you've opened, and this is your own design and creation. Am I correct? So it's not like you've
Yes.
come on to like something that already has a palette. Like you've made your own palette, and these makeup designs that are going to be passed down from cast to cast are your creation. Am I correct?
You are correct. And that does come back from my life in theater
Did
and
you just
teach
point at
learners.
me? Did you just point?
You are correct.
Correct. You just
Correct.
gave me the point. Yeah.
And
All right.
catching people, there's always good to be catching people up to what you can do, even in our industry. Because I have designed, as you know, I've designed for Beef and Ward's, I've designed theatrical makeup for many productions theatrically on land. And so there are people who've worked on the ships for a long time. I just worked with somebody on the Icon of the Seas who have very similar. Icon of the Seas is the world's largest cruise ship that just got launched in January with Royal Caribbean for your listeners. And he and I are the same age. We have very similar paths going through Broadway, et cetera. He's worked in the cruise industry with like Norwegian and Royal Caribbean for a decade. But we come to it the same way. That's something else everybody needs to understand. But we have, and I think to your comment about our young friends, they get very singularly focused. Like, I just want to be on stage. I want to do this. And one of the things that you have to do is you have to live life. You just do.
And
And
this is what I've told my dancers exactly. Like, and you know, I've had people on like from different aspects that are singers who like make sure that are vocal coaches at AMDA that please dancers, you gotta sing, et cetera, et cetera. And the first time I was on a ship, now this was like, you know, when you're a dancer, and I've been a specialty act before, I've been an aerial artist, or I've been a featured soloist, or I've been a featured vocalist, or something like that's that ego of us of like, oh, I got to be center stage, I'm center, right? Or I have to do a book show and do the most pirouettes and sing the biggest song. And when I saw my first Aqua show, and like saw those dancers like it took me back, and I was like, if I like I always thought I had to do the most pirouettes and sweat and like kick it and do the most tumbling passes. And then when I saw that Aqua show, and I tell my kids this, like there's so many opportunities, don't get in your ego and go, well, I have to do the most pirouettes and I'm going to have to be center stage. When I saw those kids doing step touch and like doing a little bit of something, and these kids were competition kids, and knowing where they came from, and then they have to, it's difficult choreography, but you can't turn and leap because your shoes are waterproof and you're doing it. But I was like, I would love this gig if I could step touch and jump in a pool and
Right. Well,
splash in the water.
a lot of dancers, they're dancers, like you are,
Yeah.
sorry. And they have never been in a pool. They've never done that before.
Yeah. I was like, I am
So.
totally down. I don't have to do 15 jumps. Do you want me to splash a rope in a pool? Fantastic. I'm down for it.
Right. Well, also, conversely, a lot of the divers, they're dancing on there too, and they haven't danced
No,
before.
I know. Yeah.
So,
So you're
again,
entering and entangling both worlds, and it's such a fantastic.
yeah.
I usually try to go where if I'm there and it keeps going, I sneak in and I watch it like three times. Like I love the production shows and I love the ice show, but like when it's that water show, I just keep going.
It's amazing.
It's great.
The one I love, really love, is called Intense. And it's on, I think, gosh, your orchestration, the Symphony or Wonder. It's an all-female show.
Oh, really?
All-female water show. The other ones are co. But anyway, it's a celebration. It's dedicated to all the girls out there. Oh my gosh, I remember when I first came in to do makeup and I was working with the performers. And I suddenly saw the Olympic rings tattooed on the back of one of the performers I was working with. And I just stopped and I said, "Were you in the Olympics?" And she goes, "Yeah, we all were." I'm like, "Oh my God, like how amazing." I was so humbled by how we came together in that moment, right?
Well, I might just have to have you give me contacts and a pathway to those people because, I'm going to run out of people at some point. I gotta get in there.
Right.
Like I haven't got an aqua show. Hey, you're on a show and you're a
Oh, sure.
diver. Let's here we
Absolutely.
go.
Yeah, I can connect you. But I mean,
I
how
know
cool is
you
that?
can. You
Because
have the, you know everybody.
I know everybody,
It's six
but
degrees of separation.
there's synchronized swimmers, in the Olympics, like
Right.
maybe from the, I can't remember, Ukraine, or I can't remember where they're from.
Right.
Anyway, I thought, oh my God, so this is the level we're working with here, Chad Baker. That's why you're wanting to go. And I think, I sit in the audience watching them, as we do, and I would watch all the little girls, their parents watching these girls perform. Oh, and it would overwhelm me because, like you just said, maybe they didn't even think that that's something they could do. And how powerful, powerful.
I
Right there in a
think
cruise ship in the middle of the ocean.
Right. And I think, when you get into that aspect, you were an Olympic athlete. What do you do from there? You're probably going to teach synchronized swimming. You never thought that you could continue a professional career on a cruise ship and now be a performer. That wasn't probably in your pathway. You just thought, okay, I'm a synchronized swimmer. I won a couple of medals. Now I'm going to teach synchronized swimming and pass the gift on. But no,
Sure.
that's not what it has to be anymore.
No. Same with the figure skaters, because,
Yep.
as you know, many of the ships have an ice rink,
Yep.
and so that's one of the routes they can go. And yeah, this if you have a passion for this industry, like you said at the beginning, like love all the aspects. And you may not get into it right away, but like you said, learn about it, because as we get older and our bodies change, or interests change, or life changes, maybe you choose to build a family and have children. You still want to be connected in this industry, but maybe you don't have time in the way you used to. Your body's changed. Just because life shifts doesn't mean that you're done being a performer, for example, because there's all these other aspects.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's why this was that this is why this was created, and that's kind of why I wanted to hear your story. Do you and I always have questions, and I didn't even get to the one. Did you ever feel like giving up, or did you have a plan B, or just your plan B's just happened? I mean, it just seems like things just kind of dropped to you and then you just kind of went with it. I mean, I don't think you had an option.
It seems that way, and in some ways it did, because I think it's there's a level of manifestation, but what people see and what the reality is are always different, right? Because there are many times I never felt like giving up. There are times you're frustrated and you feel stuck. Maybe that's the difference. You feel stuck. You're also navigating the real life, and life is ebbs and flows. I mean, and My life's not always been easy. There's been pain and losses as much as there's been joy and success. And so that's happening on the side as you're working towards something and you're always hoping you can get to where you want to go. That's why I was talking about feeling, I didn't feel content for so long until the pandemic, and I was able to stop and actually just sort of assess what I was hoping for, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have checked all the boxes. And in that moment, I released. And I'm like, whatever happens, happens. I'm good to go. Well, guess what? The ball already started rolling. And so even if I was okay sitting by the pool having a margarita for the rest of my life, I already put out in the universe the momentum and literally was calling me, hey, you want to work on this production? Sure. And it was a very comfortable, casual thing. What's wonderful about getting to contentment, which starts with self-worth, which Todd and I didn't always, we weren't, we at our age, we didn't start that way. The conditioning was sacrifice yourself and give to others. That's not correct. The thing that needs to happen is you need to learn who you are, love yourself as much as you can, as fast as you can, and then you'll be in a space to love others in the best way, because once you understand yourself, you set something called what? Boundaries. And the faster you learn how to set boundaries, you can connect with others without sacrificing yourself. So good life lesson. Didn't know that till I was 50, figured it out. But now life is joyful.
Yeah, I'm gonna go right there with you till probably about like a couple years ago that, there's always self-love when we talk about that, and you kind of have that in the industry. And I can't remember who. Oh, she was like saying she gave a little nugget, and she's stage and screen and has done stuff and ships, and she just gave such a nugget of like. To play a role and to do this and to be authentic in yourself, like have a hobby. Don't say this is my acting and I'm just going to study my craft. But have a hobby, read a book, garden, and do whatever, because you have to have real human experiences to play a real human.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my grandma said that to me, Todd, when I was in high school. I started out as a singer, vocalist, that anyway. And piano pianist, and she said, Danny, you will be the best performer when you've lived. She goes, you can be technically good young, but until you really live life and get that in there, like you won't have you'll be able to tap into it, and you'll really come into bloom. Well, so it's hard to say to a young person like you need to live life. You do, and you need, but just. Empathy is probably the next thing. You can do that young. Be curious. Curiosity says I can connect with you, and then be open to what comes back to you, not defensive.
Right. And I think it's the openness that's hard. It's the openness and being vulnerable when
It's
we're.
scary when you're younger because you don't have a fully grown self-worth. You're fully grown in the body, and now you're asking in your muscles, and you're asking to have a full self-worth and to accept criticism and to accept and to grow. You need constructive criticism because from people you trust, because that's
Constructive
how.
would be the key word, because not beat down, not constructive.
It's
And I th
feedback. When you
you
hear
need
it, it's good.
feedback.
I think you should always start every lesson with this. Are we both okay? Are we in trust that if I give some feedback as your teacher, that you're going to receive it as a student, that it's only here to lift you up? If I cannot help somebody, if they go home and it festers in them, he hates me, thinks I'm horrible, I don't have a career. No one said that. We have to be open. I can't grow if everybody says, you're amazing, great. But there's so much to learn in all of our industries. I can't do that by being told I'm amazing all the time, right? I know I'm talented, but there are 20 more million people that are more talented than me. I just want to know what I need to do to be at that level, And I can't do that if somebody's not honest with me about my personality, about my professionalism, about my craft. It's all of those things work together over time.
I think you've given us like all the nuggets, and
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to start to wrap it up here, and because my time in the room is done and I have to clean up and get everything
so
done.
quickly.
Well, we've had an hour. We've went on, and
Okay.
we usually close the show like this. And sorry, I had to scroll. I didn't bring all my stuff in. I was running. Something that I wrote, remember, pathways are like the path when the sun touches the water. You don't know where it leads or ends, but you never know until you walk that path.
I
And
love
there's,
that.
thank you. And there's been many outtakes on it. Like people are like, oh, like you said, being stuck. And like my best friend, I thought I was stuck, like how things happen. And he gave me, I was like, I'm lost. And he goes, no, you're not. You're just confused. And you have to like get your way out of the woods. And Lamar, who works for like, that was a guest on here that works for Celebrity, gave the same thing. If you're lost in the forest, you're not really ever lost. Like you got to just find another pathway. And people put their own twists on it. Like, if you're the water in the stream, like there's a rock in the path. Do you go under it? Do you go over it? Side to side. So I think, I love how people have gotten their own take on it.
Yeah,
And
absolutely. I think though, I think the thing that I learned is that other people will put their rocks in your stream of joy and it starts at birth without realizing it. And you spend the rest of your life removing those rocks and cleaning it. And so again, the purest, we were born, our birthright was joy. We were born in joy and happiness. Other people will sort of restrict that. So go back down deep in yourself. The arts are a great way to do that. Love yourself and spend some time cleaning out other people's garbage and finding your purpose. And there's your path.
I like that. I like your twist. I think I, you know what? I think you gave me an aha moment. I wrote it and people have kind of commented, or some people go, But I think I'm going to ask people at the end of this, just what you did, to give their twist on it and see where
I
we
love
can
it.
twist and see where we can twist this.
Absolutely. I think
Because
that's the
everyone's going to
theme.
have, and then people have their. People can just give their nugget onto the other nugget. Yeah. I like that. Okay, you just gave me an aha.
Here.
Yay. Thank you so much for everything that you've
Thank
done
you,
today.
Todd.
You stay on here, and it's just been a
Everybody the
joy.
best.
You go, and then I'll close out, and then you'll come back. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much, and thank you for following, and make sure you like, share, and subscribe, and we will come back next week with another episode.